Hello and welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. I am your host, Dr. Adam Christman, Chief Veterinary Officer here at Fetch DVM 360. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Vet Blast podcast. I have a wonderful veterinary technician that's joining us, and we're going to talk about a problem that you and I know is the veterinary technician shortage, and even more specifically too, how to better utilize them in and out of the exam rooms. And joining me today is April Bays. How are you, my friend?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, I'm so glad you're here. Finally, we're able to connect too. And I'm looking forward to having you join us in the speaking opportunities moving forward too. And you're a huge asset to veterinary medicine. So listen to our listeners, by the way, take a listen to this. So April is a certified veterinary technician with more than 20 years of experience. Oh my goodness. She became a veterinary technician specialist in emergency and critical care in 2013 and a veterinary cannabis counselor in 2021. She enjoys teaching emergency topics and the art of critical care and critical thinking. She created Elevate Veterinary Training Solutions in 2020 to share her passion for excellence and emphasize technician empowerment and utilization. I love that. When she's not eliminating pain or writing proceedings, you can find her supporting the many local breweries, backpacking, and getting lost in the wilderness, literally. So wait, have you been lost in the wilderness before?
I have. I have, unfortunately, been seriously searched and rescued. So, yeah.
Oh, my God. I think that's everybody's worst nightmare when you do hiking.
Yeah. Well, you know, you can stick to the rules and that generally won't happen, but you know, Great. Things changed and it was an emergency. We had to get out and then we were lost. So what do you know?
Oh my gosh.
It's all fun in the end.
Right. Look, you got something to talk about now. So we're talking about it now.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to thank you for being in this profession for well over 20 years, Rachel, April. And I want to start by asking you, what has been the best part of being a veterinary technician?
You know, there's so much more to it than I ever imagined.
Yeah.
In fact, I planned on being a veterinarian when I was young because that's the only thing there is, right? And then my plans just kind of on the path changed, and I realized this is the role for me. And I never even realized that this role existed in such a way. So really just being such an integral part of the team, I think is the most rewarding part of it, because it is, I didn't realize that I could be such a big piece of this collaboration. And when it works well anyway, because at my clinic, I had really, really supportive doctors and just clinic practices that allowed for my growth. But in the best case scenario, that's where it really, everybody thrives. Like, they're better for it. I'm better for it. Patients are better for it. And owners understand it better.
And April, talk to me more about that too. You talked about growth. What made you decide that, you know what, I want to go on. I want to be a VTS.
Well, that's funny that you say that, because I actually was in my emergency clinic working with a bunch of other staff that I thought were much more qualified. They were about to jump into this path and I was hoping to encourage them to do it. And it turned out they basically convinced me and I didn't want to. And then eventually I found my way, you know, considering it. And then once I was in, I was in and I was hooked.
Yeah. So April, was the road to becoming a VTS difficult?
It was the most challenging thing I've ever done in my life. Oh. And I have teenage daughters, so that says a lot. I understood it to be a massive challenge, which is why in the beginning I was like, you know, I want to watch you guys do this and support you guys through this. But I went alternative route into my license. And so I was like, I know I have gaps. I'm surely, you know, not as educated as you guys are. And I don't think the road to VTS is for me. And, you know, it turned out it was. And I think that was the biggest surprise to it. It was incredibly challenging, again, way beyond what I knew to even be possible. But that awareness then made it available to me. And then I found my way into learning all of that stuff. And then I was like, why are we not even aware that we can be doing this? Like, I didn't know I could know this level of of stuff, and it's really changed everything. So incredibly challenging, yes, but after the work is done, it's life-changing.
Very rewarding, I'm sure.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Very rewarding.
It must irk you, because we're going to talk about this, that irks a lot of people, is this not being utilized to, you know, their fullest capabilities of veterinary technicians. So what do you think those ramifications are for not utilizing technicians in practice?
So, you know, it does come down to, unfortunately, finances are you know, our language as much as anybody else, but it does come down to a financial benefit when we're utilized more properly. But I think I would like to point out that right now, I think we're dealing with the technician shortage on top of the pandemic, which of course the technician shortage was already there. And now we're really seeing it. I think we were on the cusp, like we were just barely getting enough air to stay above the water. And that extra millimeter was enough. And I think that just goes to show where our gaps have just unfortunately been ignored for a lot of reasons. And I think because in this field, we feel so compelled to do this work, whether we were getting paid or not, quite frankly, that it matters so much that we're willing to give all of ourselves, that's the veterinarians, the technicians, the assistants, everybody in the whole hospital, to get the work done. And now we're here and we're like, well, crap, we can't keep giving ourselves completely like this. And now what? But the model is now in place. And now we have a model that unfortunately teaches veterinarians that they need to do everything themselves. You may or may not have a technician around, so you need to learn how to do all this yourself. And now you're in practice and you're still doing everything yourself. And it's a waste of everybody's time, mostly yours. And, you know, it affects everybody. So then in the end, we don't feel, you know, utilized. And more often than not, we don't have that encouragement to progress personally either. And so, you know, when we're not growing, I know personally that the challenges of this job, they are such that without growth, it's just too out of balance. Like, why would I stick with this when I'm not really getting any, like, it's not even feeding my passion anymore. This isn't fulfilling. It's just really sucking the life out of me, quite frankly. Yeah. So you end up with this, you know, just stagnant group of people. And then, you know, the ones of us that have stayed, you know, we feel compelled to stay because we feel like we have to, like, I've put so much work into this. How can I, you know, even if leaving is better for me, how can I justify this? There's so much work to do. It's just so, there's so much to it. We, as technicians, I think are up against kind of a rock in a hard place. You know, we want to keep doing this more than anything, and we're killing ourselves in the process too.
Yeah. It's unfortunate.
So when we don't connect with the veterinarians, like at the same level as, like, you know what I know, and you utilize me to that, and you're pushing me to do better and know better, just the same way you would with a new intern, you know, in the hospital, you would be like, do you want to place this, whatever? And do you want to, you know, you would be encouraging that. A lot of times the time and the money and all of that just doesn't allow for it. And so we just sit back and unfortunately end up not getting the skills. And then we teaches other veterinarians, well, your technicians have these limited skills. And so you only use them for these things. You know, they do diagnostics and they place catheters and stuff, and that's it. Like, you're just seeing such a small portion of what we can be used for in that way. And then that, it just perpetuates it because it just goes on. So,
yeah, it's unfortunate because, you know, just like you said, they stay stagnant and they don't feel challenged and they're not being played to their greatest strengths or even their potential. I relieved at a veterinary hospital and I was talking to the technicians because it was all new to me that I had an exam room technician, but then I had a pharmacy technician and then I had a lab technician and they were not allowed to cross over to anything, like to help out or whatever. Like if they're seeing us struggle, they're like, well, that's not my job description. I was like, what do you mean? You're a technician. Like we all can work together and they want to do it. And they were so stagnant. Mm-hmm. And I think a majority of them left because they just felt like they wanted to do so much more.
Oh, and, sure. Yeah.
Right. So to your point, I think that's a major obstacle that I see. And I also think that trust is a big issue that happens too, for some reason. Like we as veterinarians need to empower and trust that the care is going to be provided with incredible technicians around you and assistants.
100%. And again, I can't imagine what it's like coming out of vet school and having every variety of assistant and technician, and they're all like the same in some people's right. minds. And so if I came out and I had, you know, I need to depend on somebody, can I lean on my team? And sometimes they can't. And so they're taught that they can't lean on their team. And since it's,
right.
you know, different everywhere, you end up with such a variety that you can't leave it to the veterinarian to just know what all the technicians know. And unfortunately, because there really isn't a great standardization, we really do know all kinds of different things, and it's not the same. And how hard yeah. it must be for the veterinarians to know who to trust and who they can go to. That's why, unfortunately, it just needs to happen. We just need right. to say, okay, well, we collaborate now, so let's do this. And that means maybe we're having a conversation where you say, are you comfortable placing that NG tube? And I can be like, you know what? I've placed two of them. Would you mind with this? Or I can be like, oh yeah, actually I taught the last vet school how to do it. And that is a totally different thing from, you yes. know, your understanding of what I know. And we can talk to each other about that and then feel comfortable with where we are. We got to get, you know, egos out of the way and just start to do what our patients need by,
right.
You know, leveling up, each of us doing the utmost of what we can do. And that means a right. lot of growth for technicians usually.
It does, which is great. I mean, it allows you to stay and challenge yourself to do so many different opportunities in there. Mm-hmm. I remember in vet school, and I say this all the time, I said this on another podcast, I learned more from the veterinary technicians at the teaching hospitals than I did from the veterinarians. I mean, to their point, they were great, but I feel like the learning curve for as a vet student, we just connected with the VTSs mm-hmm. so well. They're like, this is mm-hmm. how you're going to say it when you go out into practice. This is how you're going to do these discharge instructions. This is how you're going to put this bandage on. I mean, it was just incredible. So what role do you think vet schools play in this issue?
I think vet schools are a huge portion of this. And I think they are either hindering or helping to progress the profession. I think we teach veterinarians in school that they got to do everything. So they come out practicing, believing that they either have to do everything or they have, you know, one or two technicians they can trust maybe, and the other ones they just don't know yet. Instead of being able to instill the confidence in them that they can lean on their team, that's what we should be teaching them. And you have some badass technicians out there. And if you ever need help, you lean on them. But that's not what's taught, I bet, because I'm not there, obviously. But it's more even in the university, even by the time you're an intern, you can see what's happening is they're used as technicians. Why? Why do you need to know how to place a catheter? Why do you need right. to draw blood? Yeah. What doctor on the planet, maybe I don't know human medicine enough, but, you know, like what podiatrist knows how to do venipuncture? They don't. They have people right. for that. And I understand that there are the places, the rural places, or sometimes you don't have a technician. And so you need to have this. Again, it's perpetuating the problem. We need to move into the right, you know, sort of method for this, which is to, you know, emphasize each of our roles. That's how we get progress, you know, is to say, okay, well, this is what they can do. You should be doing these things. You could practice these things potentially, but let's not enforce that as, you know, just how much do you want, you know, you to have yeah. to time to spend on that. And I would ask the doctors, you know, how important is it, you know, to them to have a team that they can really, really rely on? They're skilled, experienced, they're educated technicians, and that provides them with a better work-life balance. And so I think we have to lean on the veterinarians to engage with us in a way that they know what our skill levels are and also insist that we grow and do some of the things maybe just in anticipating, for example, asking, hey, does anybody have any training in this or whatever the thing may be? A lot of times they just don't ask. And so the technicians don't end up getting to use those skills.
It really does fall back to, I watched teamwork happen so much when I was in vet school. And I know it still happens when I go in and I visit. And it's just, I mean, I could cry thinking about the amount of hard work that these technicians do and assistants And I know we got to get their pay up there. I know if you're listening, please, profession, please, please, please do something about this. Not just say it, we got to do it, because mm-hmm. there's not enough money in the world. So, I got to tell you, April, there was a situation where I saw my dog Code, and to see these technicians together for the greater good of my dog. Mm-hmm. And I just, you know, as a veterinarian, I was like, oh my God, I don't know what to do. You know, it's just, they got your back, and they will always get your back. They don't throw you under the bus. They support you. They elevate you. And I just think I can't say enough wonderful things about
them. Right. And that's the thing. And that's the thing. In most cases, you know, that is the understanding. It's just that when we don't have that connection, it's just so broken. And so more veterinarians are coming around with this mentality. And again, I have been so lucky and always had really supportive doctors training me and teaching me and me teaching them, because they trusted me, and it's really worked out great. But they you know, they're not across the board going to be the same, of course. So you have sometimes to identify these little spots and be like, well, where do we progress and where do we stick with the thing we've always done, you know?
Yeah.
So never.
Excellent. Well, this is wonderful, April. And tell everybody where we can find out more information about Elevated Veterinary Training Solutions.
Sure. You can email me at ElevativeVTS. So that's ElevativeVTS@gmail. And I do, you know, training programs for emergency clinics, but all over the place. Also, you know, would love to talk to anybody who needs help with those areas, and even technician utilization.
Yes, technician utilization. And talk to us quickly, to the listeners, just about your cannabis background too, if those are anyone interested in doing what you just did.
Yeah, so this was the Veterinary Cannabis Counselor is a program through which name it is if I don't think of it first. So, but they certified basically a group by going through all of the training behind the science and the biology around cannabis use, and then how we use that in veterinary patients, so that we can provide harm reduction education to clients that are out there saying, I'm gonna use this product. We should be involved basically in some oversight. Right. And so I basically help them safely do that while communicating with their veterinarian on what we're doing.
That's wonderful. Thank you for doing that too. Excellent. Yeah. April Bays, thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Oh, thank you for having me. Honestly, it's a pleasure. Thank you, Adam.
You're welcome. And thank you for all your hard work. And thank you. Another special shout out to the veterinary technicians and assistants and students that are out there. You're in the best profession. We need you. Thank you for all your hard work. Continue to do great work. And thank you to our listeners for tuning in. Please don't forget to rate today's podcast. Helps us out significantly. And we will catch you next week on the Vet Blast podcast. Take care, everybody. Thank you for listening to the Vet Blast podcast with me, Dr. Adam Christman. Tune in next time. Remember, take care of your animals and always stay pawsome.